Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Undivided with Luke and Dina. Hi.
Hey, babe.
How's it going?
I was taking a nap.
I saw. It's okay.
It's good. It's like a gloomy, rainy day.
Yes.
It's not gloomy. Like, you and I, we actually like rain.
Yes.
Like, we like the rainy days. But, like, it's, I, like, close my eyes. We made some nice lunch. We went to the gym.
Yes.
Had a good lunch. And now my belly's full. And it's raining outside, and we have big plans for our backyard, and we're talking about stuff, and then, like, you're like, let's record, and I'm like, I'm going to take a quick 5-second power nap while you...
Yes. During the intro.
That's it. Yes. Close my eyes and hear the rain. Yes. And just get into the mood, and here we are.
Yes.
Hey, we have an anniversary coming.
We do.
So whenever... Is it the...
When this comes out, we're going to be leaving in 2 days.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Wait. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, because seriously, what happened to me, I just went, wait a minute. No, that's not right. And I'm like, nope, that's up front. Mm-hmm. That's up front. Yep. And divided. And oh, and that's in the reel. And oh, that's the equipment. And yeah.
One day we'll get our schedules and our... Everything sorted.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yes.
It is good. I appreciate that our listeners just fly by the seat of their pants like we do.
Yep.
Most days.
They watch our train going and they just watch it go by and they follow.
I was going to say they jump on, but there's periodically I'm like, you may not want to jump on because we definitely don't want to have a train wreck.
No.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've had any train wrecks. I think we're doing okay.
Yeah.
And then we've got our little, what is this? What are these called? What are
gummies?
These?
Gummy worms?
The little gummy
worms?
The
Albanese brand.
Because Heather told me that I need to tell people we're not eating gummies on air, but
right.
We do eat gummies on air, but they're not the fun gummies that some people...
They're store-bought gummies.
They are store-bought gummies that you get from like Hy-Vee
or
Walmart.
A local grocery store.
Yep. And I have them all laid out.
Yes.
Not like you do. But
not like me.
Because this would be color coordinated, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's not bad.
It's pretty good.
So yeah. what are we talking about today?
So due to the overwhelming success of last episode.
I'm kind of jazzed about this. Yes.
I am too. And I am. I'm kind of enjoying the, it's not quite somebody interviewing us, but it feels like interviewing us.
It does.
Because I do. I think it's more fun. Mm-hmm. When we field questions,
yes.
You know, when somebody is like, you know, even if somebody's like, you know, hey, can you talk about this? You know, what are your thoughts on this subject? It's
right.
Like, okay, well, let's talk about the subject,
right.
You know, but it's like, I like the question and answers and stuff like that. I like that format.
Because I think even one of our more popular ones were actually 10 things that I learned in 10 years of marriage.
Yeah.
And it's funny, just people seem to like, they like the, our daughters just got home.
Oh, nice.
They like the, like, let's lay it out. Give me some, you know, nuggets, give me some things, that kind of space.
Yeah.
So I like that they are asking us questions and
yes.
Just, cause it is, you and I could talk about anything and everything, which we have proven, like during lunchtime or talking about tattoos and piercings and splittings of tongues and things of that nature.
Yep.
And then we're also talking about scratching in public.
Yeah.
Men scratching in public versus women scratching in public, things of that nature. Again, guys, like there's probably people that are like, what are your thoughts on this? Like, we want to know these thoughts.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it another time maybe.
Yeah.
But it's just, I like getting into other people's heads.
Yeah. It's good. So part two, The big question that we're going to start with is, what are two or three hooks the enemy tries to bring into marriage to get Christians off course?
I like that.
And then we have a second question, which we will share later because we feel that it goes really well with that big first question.
Yeah.
So two or three hooks that the enemy likes to throw at us to make us forget our purpose, our identity. Our plan, our path, how to get us off course, how to stop us running the race, how to forget the weapons that we have that we can fight with.
Come on.
Against the enemy that's trying to throw us off course.
Come on. So what are two or three hooks? Okay, I'm going to read it again because you went into that long dissertation and it kind of threw me. So what are two or three hooks the enemy tries to bring into marriage to get Christians off course.
I mean, I'm gonna start off with, it's like I almost said I'm gonna start with kids. Not that kids are from the enemy. No, far from it. But I think the mentality of placing your kids first, because I think the enemy loves to play that card. Because because when you're married, this is a priority.
Right.
It goes God, marriage.
Yeah.
You know, in the hierarchy of things. And if the enemy can convince you to twist that, to put your kids before your marriage, then that can, it can really throw things off. It throws off, you know, God's plan. It basically throws off God's plan for your marriage, for your life together. And, you know, because it is, you'll spend, you know, 18, 20, 25 years focusing on your kids and putting their needs first and all of their stuff first. And all of a sudden it's like you two become empty nesters and you're now strangers that are roommates.
Correct.
You know, and so I think that's one of those things. Or sometimes before you even get to that point, you know, one spouse will all of a sudden start to resent the other spouse because the kids are always coming first. And it's like, you know what? I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, and that can open the door to divorce or, you know, affairs and all that extramarital stuff or, you know, even, you know, porn and, you know, all that stuff. And so I think I'm going to say that's my first.
Yeah.
The first thing that pops to my mind is skewing the order of putting your children before your marriage.
That's good. I mean, it's not good, but that's good.
Yeah.
No, I like that. I would also say one of the hooks, again, because this was given to us by sweet, sweet friends of ours. I would also say not being honest in finances. Not being honest in, not being on the same page. Let's say it that way. Not being on the same page. Okay. That sounds very broad, but when you don't have, when you have not sat down and had a talk financially, where do we want to go? Even spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of the things. Okay.
Yeah.
So, what is sometimes even those plans, kind of like the 5-year plan, like, What are we even striving for? What are we doing right now? Because again, you know, we've let everybody know the new thing that's going on in our lives right now. Well, this is something that just not, we didn't go on a whim. This is something that we've talked about, that we've thought about, we've said, we've prayed about,
we've sought counsel about,
we have sought, you know what I mean? Like it's that stuff.
Yeah.
And then following through. It's the follow through. It's like, hey, we're going to be saving money for this and such and this and such. But if one of the spouses says, you know what, I'm just going to spend and I'm going to spend and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Or, physically, you know, you and I want to get it. We want to be in shape and we want to have goals and we want to have healthier lives. But if one is like, you know what, I'm just not feeling it anymore. And then you're not standing up to the commitment.
Yeah.
And the promise that you made in that space, I think that that could become a hook too, because it is, you start becoming very resentful. Resentment does seem to be a big play in this.
Oh yeah.
But it's like you start getting frustrated because you are trying to create a life and a future for your family, with you and your spouse.
Yeah.
And then the other spouse is like, you know, well, listen, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, you know, whether if it's whoever, you know, like you and I, you're very kind to me. You're always good to me. It's our money.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think that that could also be a hook, you know, well, this is your money. That's my money.
Yeah.
And it, as opposed to, wait a minute, we're literally building something together. And it's our money.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one that brings in more money than I do. But I also bring in taking care of and doing things. So it's like when you are not on the same page when it comes to life goals, mm-hmm. I will say financially that finances are a big thing.
Yeah.
If for your life goals, then I think that that could create a hook. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, this person, like, we're married, but we're not even doing, we're not pursuing the same purpose.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm glad you said it that way. Cause I was listening to all that you said, and it was like, I was about to say, you know, so it sounds like, you know, the main thing is not being on the same page.
Right.
So yeah. I agree 100%, you know, because again, it's, you know, if you're not on the same page, you know, again, it's, you know, if you're not looking to go in the same direction,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not that we have to have all of the same hobbies, all the same interests and all, but we should, as a marriage, as a married couple, we should want to move in the same direction.
Correct.
You know, and yeah, it's really good.
'Cause I will say with us, even just recently, within the last month or so, where we sat down and I said, what's on your head?
Yeah.
Like, what's heavy on your heart right now? Yeah. What's in your brain? And we made a list. And the thing is it's not just, this isn't just Luke's list. This is something that affects both of us, right? Yeah. Or even if it is, there's a couple of things like, hey, babe, I really need you to get this done so that way I can, you know,
Or sometimes it's, you know, stuff that I need to get done so that my head can be on straight, so that I can be a better husband and father and all the other fun stuff.
And that, and knowing that, being aware of that, being sensitive to one another in that, I think that would help, probably eliminate even some of that, to where, you know, I'm doing this not just because like it benefits me, but I'm doing this because this is going to help my spouse. This is going, which inadvertently will help benefit me, but ultimately I want to make sure that they are okay first, and then let's keep going and move forward and start pursuing the things together.
Yeah. I like that. I'll say, moving on to another hook, which I'll go ahead and bring up the second question that we got for today.
So good.
Because I do, it's, you know, different people sent in these really good, great questions. And it's like, some of these questions really go along with each other.
Yes.
So, and I think
what was this, cool about this.
Yeah. I think this question really goes along with this main question of the hooks and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's from two totally different
people.
Yeah,
it is. Two totally. So it's awesome. But the question is, what is the thin line between comparing a relationship and admiring a relationship?
Man.
And it is, I know on the Equipped Man, I talked with the guys about, mm-hmm. you know, the comparison and all that and competition. And, you know, a lot of times people talk about how comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
And I think we might have even talked about that in a previous episode. But what I also say, and this is, you know, something I talked about with the guys, is yes, comparison can be the thief of joy. But what happens when you turn that comparison around to push you to do better?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, hey, I see that they're a better dad than I am. How can I improve what I do?
Right.
You know, it's almost like that. You know, the conversation that we had last episode, mm-hmm. about my coworker that saw me give you a kiss goodbye. He's like, wait, I want to be, no way he can, you know, be better at me than that.
Yeah.
You know, at that than me. And so I'm going to up my game.
Right.
To do better.
Yes.
And I think that's the way you got to look at it is, you know, because in a way, like, you can look at all these couples around you, you know, at your church, at work, you know, wherever you go, and you can say, I like what they've got going on, mm-hmm. or it seems like they've got something that really works for them.
Yeah.
Maybe we can try to incorporate something like that into our marriage.
Yeah.
You know, or this is what it looks like from the outside. Maybe we should get to know them so we can really find out what's going on. You know? Not that it's a bad thing, just, you know, hey, how do they do it?
Right.
And I do. I think that's important. But I can see also where it can get twisted, because we have friends that have moved away out of the area, and they told us a story how when they were new to our church, they were really trying to go after God with everything in them, and they looked at a couple that was, you know, they were in a leadership role and they were, you know, doing all the things, and they had, you know, six kids, and they were just really pouring and going, you know, it seemed like they were going hardcore 24/7 after God.
Yeah.
And this young couple, friends of ours, they're like, you know what, if that's what they're doing, we're going to do it. We're going to imitate them. We're going to do everything that they're doing.
Right.
Because they were like, that will help us be better married couple. This will help us in the kingdom of God. And it kind of made them miserable and burned them out.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
it almost destroyed their marriage.
It did.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, admire them, you know, kind of compare yourself in a good way.
Yeah.
But don't imitate. Don't say, well, that's what they're doing, so we have to do it too.
That's good.
You know, and I think that's where it needs to be, you know, because I'm assuming the person that sent this question, you know, they're talking about the comparing a relationship like almost in a negative way.
Right.
And where it's, you know, because it is, if you start comparing yourself, if you start comparing your marriage to other people,
yeah,
well, we're not doing it like that. We're not doing it like them. So, you know, we're failing.
It does. You said it. It steals the joy. It steals the uniqueness of who you are.
Yes.
Right? Because like, when we had our women's conference, and I had told you this, and I'd actually said this on In the Real with the girls, but it very much pertains to even with the couples, right? Like, we could even do it as a family. We could be trying to compare our family compared to other families, and it's going to absolutely annihilate the uniqueness that God has placed on us. Because one of the things that was spoken, and I know they meant really well when they said it, and please hear me when I do repeat this, but they said, you know, you could be raising up a Matty Ray, or you could be raising up a Sally Quintanilla. You could be raising up all of these really amazing people, amazing women of God. And I turned and I looked at our beautiful brown-eyed girl and I said, or I could be raising up a Gabrielle Porter.
Yeah.
Because that's who you are.
Yeah.
Right. And she had the biggest, most beautiful smile when I said it, because what it did is it released her from having to live in a space or in a box that is not hers to be in. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, there's qualities. The Bible is full of fundamental things that we should be living by. We should be having the fruit of the Spirit. We should be walking in the joy of God. Yeah. We should be walking in love that is patient and kind and gentle, right? We should be walking in certain attributes, the character of God.
Yeah.
But He made us so wonderfully, fearfully made individually. There's no other Luke Wance on this planet.
Yeah.
There's no other Dina, right? Like, like, we are who we are. Our kids are our kids. And it's like, if we start putting a comparison, the only thing we should ever be comparing our lives to is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And our marriages should be a reflection of Christ loving the church and willing to lay His life down. And then the church willing to die and be a representation. Like, when I walk into a space, people should know that I am married because, like, I carry a presence about me because of who you are.
Yeah.
And vice versa, right? We should be making each other look good.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those where it's like, when we compare, I think it destroys the unique fabric of who God has created you to be as a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you and I bring something to the table that some of our other pastors, some of our other leadership, even our sweet friends that had sent us these messages, right? Like, these are couples, strong, mighty, godly couples. These are friends of ours that are asking us these questions. And if we were to try to be the Garretts, or try to be the Driscolls, or try to be the Pfeiffers. You know what I mean? Like, if we tried to be these people, we would no longer be the Wances.
Yeah.
And I think we, when you do that, you do a misjustice to the kingdom.
Yeah.
You do a misjustice even to your own spouse and what God wants to do through you guys.
Because again, that's, you know, it's like you said, you know, that's not what God has called you to be.
No, no.
You know, and it is, it's.
If he hasn't graced, what was it? If he hasn't graced you for that battle, to be in that position, to be that person,
yeah,
it will destroy you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, and, you know, again, admire a couple, you know,
yes.
see the things that they've got going, you know, but, you know, again, just, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do that.
Right.
You know, I know some people that are really good at, you know, being entrepreneurs, and that doesn't mean that's what you need to take on.
Correct.
You know, so yeah. So admire other couples for what they've got going on, and say, you know, again, find out how they do it. Don't just look at it from the outside and say, oh, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get to know them and get into their lives. And then, you know, in a way, judge for yourself as to not whether or not that's something you want to try to incorporate into your own marriage.
Or if it's something that you want to incorporate, maybe you get to do it in a different way.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, but to see how you can incorporate that kind of stuff.
I like it. No, I like that. And I like, even more so, this is where you and your spouse get to pray. Pray together. Get in God's face together. Father, how do you see where we can improve? What do you see that we could do? You know, do it separately as a husband and wife, but then do it, you know, together. Find out, maybe, you know, he might be looking at you saying, I think what you guys are doing is great. You don't need to, even if you're admiring somebody else, you can absolutely appreciate, respect, honor. But even then, you don't, if it's not yours to grab hold of, then just appreciate it and then move on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next hook.
Next hook. Okay. Yeah.
You.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
I would say the next hook that I see is, you kind of talked about it a little bit, would be pornography or emotional affairs.
Yeah.
I would say that is a hook, because, or not even emotional affairs. Let me, because I'm going to say predominantly, listen, it can be guys and girls. They can both be in pornography. And if somebody immediately goes, well, Dina, I don't watch porn, or I don't, you know, okay, but do you look at certain pictures? When reels come across, are the people half naked? If girlfriends, because usually the girls are more into this than the guys, but if the guys do, then grab it. Are you watching romance? Are you reading romance novels? Are you fantasizing about somebody other than your spouse? Because you aren't feeling fulfilled, or maybe stress, whatever it is that might be trying to trigger. I would say that these are hooks that try to come in, especially when things seem to be going just fine.
Yeah.
Like boredom starts creeping in. You haven't spent enough time with your spouse. Maybe the face-to-face time is a little lean because you're in a busy season.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be, stress, just things at work. And then because of the things at work and the stress, you're not having conversations and expressing to your spouse what's going on, because, hey, I'm having a really hard time here. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And so instead of getting real and honest and in each other's faces, what we'll do is then we'll hide behind something else to keep us occupied. And I'm even going to go as far as not just porn or emotional affair. When I talk about an emotional affair, you could even be having an emotional affair with your phone.
Yeah.
With social media.
Yeah.
You could be getting so caught up in looking down all the time and not having that face to face. We've been guilty of that, to where it's like all of a sudden we're sending 50,000 reels, which is cute and that's fine. but like, have I actually talked to you today? Yeah. You know? And so we've got to be careful what we're doing kind of on our down times. How are we responding to times that are stressful?
Yeah.
How are we dealing with times where we're just by ourselves with our thoughts? How are we doing when we haven't had the proper amount of time with our spouse? Are we being vulnerable enough to say, hi,
yeah,
I need you.
Yeah.
How are you? I miss your face. Right. So I would say that would be one of those hooks. Also, again, in the same vein, and you're going to see what I keep talking about, like when you become a workaholic, you know, are you putting business before your marriage? Are you putting, you know, we got to get that next, we got to get that next bid. We got to get that next job. We got to get that next. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
These things can wait. Have you spent quality?
Yeah.
It's not always quantity, because we understand life happens, but the quality of time with your spouse, to where they've connected with their heart with yours, because that's usually when these snares and these hooks come in. All of a sudden you start becoming disconnected. You start becoming absent from each other.
And I think that's almost more of it. I mean, it's like, yes, like all these other things come into it.
Those are symptoms.
You know, with the emotional affairs, you know, with the pornography and all that. But I think it comes down to, it's that distraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's that it's the, we're not making our marriage our priority. You know, it's the, you know, it's kind of back to like with the kids, and in a way you could kind of like throw that out with, you know, this trumps that of if you're not putting your marriage in the proper order,
right?
You know, again, God, marriage.
Yep.
You know, this is your first ministry, so to speak.
That's
right. I know people have said that a lot. And if you're not putting your marriage first before everything else outside of God,
mm-hmm,
then it's going to lead to problems.
Right. Right.
You know, it's kind of like, what is your marriage built on?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you might have a really solid foundation, but if you're not making your marriage a priority, all of a sudden those walls are not solid.
Right.
You know, the stairs are a little wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, you can tear down those walls and you can go back to that good solid foundation.
Yeah.
But if your walls and your stairs and all that other stuff is not sturdy and stable, you can completely lose your foundation.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. So I'd say it, a lot of it boils down to that.
Yeah. Just connecting. Just, it's because even church, we can get so caught up in church and be so consumed with church and consumed with ministry. We could be consumed with, right? We can be consumed with all of it. And it's like, be consumed with God. But I guarantee, it's not even a but, I guarantee, if there is something that is shaky on your foundation as far as with your marriage, and you're going to the Father and you're asking him directly, what do I need to do? You know, yes, there would be that time where you get into his face and you pray and you worship and you speak with him and you have that communion, you have that time. He's also going to download that love for your spouse. He's going to download ideas, wisdom on how to even repair the breach, to repair the spaces that might be unsure, right? He might tell you, hey, I want you to go and I want you to go to church and I want you to hold your spouse's hand and I want you to get into the presence of me and I want you to worship and I want you to wrap them up and I want you to remind them that you're in this together.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where he's like, you know what? Nope. I want you to stay home, or I want you to go do this with your family and I want you to go spend this time and I want you to reconnect in another area, because he knows what you need when you need it. And sometimes, back to our friends, right, that we're trying to to compare their lives with this family that's running hard, running hard, running hard. That was not the space that God had called them. He did not grace them to be in that place. Yeah. And if he has not graced you to go a million miles an hour, or all of a sudden you're running really hard and your intentions are really good and God is very much glorified, but if you're turning and looking all of a sudden and your spouse is looking at you like, I have not seen you all week. Mm. Where are you?
Yeah.
Then you might want to take a step back, reevaluate, and then reconnect.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. This was good. It's like, it feels like the more we kind of talked about it, it just kind of boiled itself down.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, because it is, it's the, are you putting things out of order?
That's it.
Have you put idols in your life?
Come on.
You know, between the phone, between the job, between, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you being involved in a ministry at church.
Yep.
You know, are you, you know, it, and so it's like, I think it's those things. And as simple and basic as they may seem, they really are the big ones.
Yeah.
You know, they're the biggies. You know, it's, you know, again, it's the fact that the enemy is, you know, he's not creative. You know, I'll say he's not creative.
He's
not. But it's,
he's a counterfeit.
And it's, you know, he uses the same tricks mm-hmm. over and over again. You know, mm-hmm. he's always going to find your button. He's always going to find that one shiny ball that can distract you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's until you find, until you get to the point where it's like the shiny ball no longer affects me.
Right.
You know, then he won't really be sure what to do.
Right.
You know, and again, so it's the, are your priorities out of order?
Right.
You know, what has become an idol in your life?
It's good.
And then also kind of where is your identity? You know, and it's just down to, you know, those things, you know, if those things are skewed in your life, in your marriage, then that is going to just open you up so much to attacks.
Yes.
I mean, we as Christian married couples, we are open to attack as it is.
Yes.
But the fact that we are unified, that we have this, these vows that we've said to each other, this covenant that we've shared with each other, that we are bonded in such a way, we together are able to fend off all of those attacks.
Yeah.
You know, but when we, you know, again, it's kind of like with, you know, like an old school, you know, soldier or something like that. You know, if your armor is not put on the right way,
mm-hmm.
you're open to attacks.
Right.
That you never would have thought would have been a thing.
Yeah. You become vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so I think that's what a lot of it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think a lot of it would be self-evaluate, really get into the presence of God, really find out what it is that he's saying to you right now, to where you're not comparing, but you are examining, you're putting your marriage under kind of a microscope. Be very careful. Be very careful, though, when you do that, that I would say before you do anything else, before you start talking about the things that are wrong or the things that need to be fixed, that the appreciation and the acknowledging the good is something that is very prevalent in that comes out of your mouth, that, you know, you celebrate your spouse, you appreciate them. It's like, you know, coming into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, right? Before you make your request known before God, you go and you tell him who he is, you acknowledge who he is, you tell him how much you appreciate him. And then you have the conversation. It would just be just like with your spouse. Listen, thank you, babe, for being such a hard worker. Thank you for constantly providing for our family. Thank you more than anything that my heart is safe with you.
Yeah.
You know? Now, these are some things that I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, when you acknowledge the good, when you acknowledge the things that are beautiful, maybe some of the hooks probably would even go away.
Yeah.
Like, what are you fixated on? You know, I know that sometimes we have a tendency to see so much of the bad or where we could constantly be better. Like, you know, us girls, we get in the mirror, guys too, get in the mirror. Oh man, like I could do better here and this, that, but we pick ourselves apart and it's like, no, listen, let's celebrate what God has done, who he is making us to be as a couple. And then, Father, how would you like us to be tweaked? Because yeah. Ultimately he is the one that gets to have the say.
Yeah. It's good. I like that. It's really good. I think we said it.
Is that good?
I mean, yeah. I mean, do you think there's anything else that needs to be said on this?
I know they asked for two or three. I think we gave them a little bit more than that.
I did.
Did we? That's fine.
I mean, I think ultimately we boiled it down to three.
Did we? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I just be vigilant. Yeah. Be vigilant.
Yeah.
Be vigilant knowing that your marriage is something that is sacred.
Yes.
And do everything you can to keep it sacred.
Yeah.
Know that we're cheering for you guys.
Always.
Always cheering for them.
Yeah.
We really do. We believe in you guys. And know that we're praying for y'all. There's quite a few that reach out to us. Just know that we're standing in the gap with you guys. We're believing. We're standing and believing that God is going to rescue, redeem, restore, and then rejuvenate everything in, as far as your marriage is concerned.
Yeah.
And that God gives you wisdom. He gives you a greater understanding that he shows you from his point of view, not yours, but you see things from his point of view. So that way you don't get overwhelmed, but that you move forward in victory, that you fight from a place of victory, not fighting for victory.
Yes.
The battle's already won.
Yes, it is.
Yay. All right, guys. Have the best week.
Enjoy the journey.